Selling, yes, it's something that we all gravitate towards. We love it. Now, when it comes towards selling as someone who's an underrepresented community or underrepresented individual in the major industries where sellers are, you sometimes kind of you question or second guess your capabilities. Today's guest, her name is Amanda. She's going to talk about her experience. Even though she's not necessarily corporate selling, she sells for herself and sells for a company that she developed. The crazy part about this is because of the way that we grow up, we don't realize that we are naturally great sellers. You're going to hear her story and how this came about. It's fantastic. Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome to another great episode of Selling in Color. I'm your host, the one and only Mr. Donald C. Kelly, the sales evangelist, and I'm so excited to be here with you all. I'm so excited to have you listening on this episode and for watching this video. And today, as we are talking about on Selling in Color, if this is your first time watching one of our videos or listening to our podcast, please just go ahead and subscribe. It means a lot because it tells other people coming in after you that this podcast is great. And we want to get the message out there, man. Think about it. Only 20% of the sales force are people of color. And we know that's not the case. That shouldn't be the case. We know that we can be great sellers. It's not that we're not great sellers. We don't get the opportunities, and we want to give you the opportunity right now. Speaking about giving opportunity, my friend Amanda, she created her own opportunity. Remember we talk about baking that pie? Don't beg for a piece, make it happen. You're going to hear her story. She comes from a Cuban heritage and a Cuban background, and you're going to hear how she was able to realize that she was a seller and didn't even realize it throughout her experience, throughout her early life growing up as a kid, and then how this eventually translated into the success that she's having right now. Amazing. Let's go ahead and dive in. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me to talk about one of my favorite subjects.
Selling. Well, I'm excited to have you. I'm looking forward to, you know, chatting with you and being able to pick your brain and get all the cool stuff and learn about your experience. As we were talking in the beginning there, we are very curious to learn about you as an individual and hear about your selling journey, what got you in sales and how you're finding success these days. But before that, tell us a little bit about you. Like, what do you do right now, Amanda?
So I am the founder and CEO of Make Money Your Honey. It's a marketing and sales training company for women, coaches, creatives, and consultants. And basically, at bare minimum, I mean, this is a bare minimum stat here because, you know, legal reasons, we're doubling your sales in half the time. And we can get into like how we do that kind of stuff and how we structure it. But that's basically what I do now.
Well, awesome. Well, I'm super stoked for you. I'm super, super stoked for your what you're accomplishing and the community and the things that you've been able to develop. And I'm excited to hear how we can help other folks to also come up to par and to learn from you as well. I mean, as I mentioned at the beginning, about 20% of professional sellers are people of color, and we want to make sure more underrepresented communities, and we want to make sure that can change. I want to hear your journey. You mentioned before at the beginning that you were in the financial space. How did you leave that world and come into sales? I think that's like, you know, people are probably thinking, what's wrong with her? Why did she leave something like that and come to with us crazies?
Oh, lots of reasons we can get into. So I'm going to backtrack a little bit. So it's a funny story, and I hear this happens to a lot of people because of not so great management. That's what I've heard, right? Now that I'm on the other side. And in retrospect, possibly my experience, which was I've been in sales for since I was 20, and I had no idea because no one told me.
Interesting. Tell me more about that.
So I've done fundraising. I've done tours for my college. I was a recruiter. That's all sales. It's all sales. Just, you know, different mediums of sales. And what I realized was no one actually connected the dots for me in terms of like, this is what you're doing and here's how it affects the bottom line. No one ever did that for me. So now that I have a team, I make sure not to make the same mistake. But yeah, technically I've been in sales since I was 20. I just didn't know for years. That's all it was. So now let's get to 2010 when I graduate college. So now let's go to 22, right? 22, I graduate from college. I went 6 months without being able to find any sort of employment whatsoever. which, you know, after 2020, I'm like, well, I know what to do this time. Deja vu. I learned during the last recession, but I went 6 months without being able to find a job. And everything was like, you know, go to school, get a job. And I'm like, okay, well, that's not happening when the economy's in the toilet. And there were all these articles at the time about how screwed millennials are and how we just take pictures of our food and all this stuff. And I don't know, like, I'm not the brightest crayon in the box. You know, I'm not the smartest person in the room, but I'm like, how does that make sense? We're not the ones who tank the economy. So I just started asking lots of questions. And I was really struggling. I mean, I think I had my quarter life crisis a little early, actually. And a friend noticed I was struggling and he handed me a book called The Art of Nonconformity by Chris Guillebeau. He has lots of other books since then. But in the book, it was like, yeah, I'm traveling the world and I make money online and I do all this stuff. And I was like, wait, that's a thing? That's an option? I can do that?
No. You need to go in debt and you need to stay in school and you need to go get several degrees and then you need to
I was considering going to grad school, but I'm like, what the hell am I going to go to grad school for? Like, because I'm a literature major. I'm like, am I going to get in debt to become a literature professor? No, that doesn't seem smart. That seems less than smart to me, for me personally. Right? But you know, so I was like weighing my options and freaking out and moved back home. And I read the book and I was like, why has nobody ever told me
that? Yeah,
why is this the first time I've ever heard? Of course, now I understand why, you know, immigrant parents, like with immigrants, it's like, go get a professional job. You know, yeah. So that's what they did because that's the safe and secure thing. I don't come from an entrepreneurial family. So, you know, it makes total sense why I never heard any of this. So I did something like magical, basically. And I was like, well, I've always wanted to be a writer. Maybe I can make money writing. And I Googled how to make money writing online. This was in July of 2010. I picked up a client, right? And by client, I mean I was writing for a content mill. I don't even think these things exist anymore, right? Where it's like you would write all these articles and make money based off of the traffic and the ad revenue. And I signed up and made $5 my first month. And it was the best $5 I ever made because I'm like, I just made money doing something I like to do, right? Those early days were bleak though because I had no idea what I was doing. But it's fine. You know, like everybody goes through that and you're just trying to figure it out. And then I had at the time, one of the content mills was like, hey, we have all these personal finance articles open. You know, we need people to write them. It was like $15 an article, which to me seemed like a goldmine at the time. Right. And I was like, okay, I don't know anything about money. That was part of like the quarter life crisis. What if I get paid to learn about money? So I started taking those assignments and then I started a blog. At the time, it was called Grad Meets World, a little millennial humor there, where I was writing about adulthood and stuff like that. Money was one of the topics that I would cover. And then I did that I did eventually find a job. I was a recruiter. I did that on the side for like 2.5 years, was picking up freelance clients here and there. And then in 2013, I noticed something really interesting happening, which was all my internet friends were quitting their jobs.
What year was it?
2013 or 2012 was when I started to notice it. 2013 was when I actually quit. So 2012
when I did.
When you did, yeah. So 2012, yeah. I was like, all my internet friends are quitting their jobs to go freelance. I was like, there's something here, right? Meanwhile, I'm a recruiter, right? And I interview people every day who lost their jobs because of a merger. They got laid off, this, that, and the third. Florida got really hard, hit really hard during the last recession, which is ironic seeing what's going on with Florida during this recession. And it's like literally night and day.
Market. That housing market, man.
Everything. Like I had team members and friends in town over the weekend for an event. Like we never used to have events down here. Now everybody's having an event here.
Everybody.
Is bonkers. Very different 10 years ago during the last recession. Total opposite, actually. So anyway, I started realizing, oh, my internet friends are all quitting their jobs. I think there's something here. But I had to get over those fears. You know, I was still trained with go get a job, benefits, upward mobility, all that kind of stuff. But when I was working as a recruiter at some point, I had to have that come to Jesus, which was like, oh, the economy's never going back to how it was before 2008, which is a similar come to Jesus people are having now. Life is never going back to how it was before 2020. So I had to come to Jesus And I hired my first coach. And then it was that coach who's like, you know, you've been doing sales this whole time, right? Mm. And I'm like, why did no one sit me down and tell me this?
Yep.
Why?
If you don't mind me asking, your family immigrated to the US. What country?
Cuba.
Cuba. So I'm Cuban.
Shut up.
Let me tell you, my great grandmother came from Cuba to Jamaica, and we found us out doing genealogy.
Listen, my last trip before COVID was Jamaica, right?
Uruguay, Wagwan.
We're like, the whole thing, right? And I almost played dominoes with the hotel staff. Right?
That's the coolest piece.
Right. Because I was there with friends. They were American, right? They have some weird American version of dominoes I don't even understand, right? So I asked I saw a domino set in the lobby. I'm like, how do y'all play dominoes? And they play the same way Cubans play, right? Yeah. So next time when I go back, I'm going to play the whole hotel staff. We're going to play dominoes. But I noticed that I'm like, I feel so at home in Jamaica, right? Like, it's not exactly the same, but I feel like all over the Caribbean, it's just in your blood. Like, you could probably get thrown in the middle of Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico and just be like, I'm home. I'm cool. I'm chilling.
And that's where my wife is from. And when we went there, it felt like home. The food and it just felt good. It's so cool. And I think like you're saying, that we have the parents kind of pass that whole thing around the block, right? You know, it's when we come from Jamaica, my mom's sacrifice came to the US, and it's like, you know, they want you to succeed. And it's like, you're an engineer, or you're going to be a lawyer, you're going to be a doctor. Like, those are the things that they really want and don't necessarily see. So when you tell them like this idea of sales, they don't realize. And I think in our cultures too, we've had sales for so long that they don't even realize that what sales is. Like, in Jamaica, it was just survival. It was like, you got to make money, go out and be a businessman.
For Cubans, it is too. And like, communism hasn't even been able to get that out of a Cuban. I mean, right? That's a whole other discussion, but like, it's like in our blood or something. I don't know. And I think it's that survival thing. I had a friend who was at a wedding in Florida a couple weekends ago. She's half Cuban, half American. And she posted something on Facebook and she goes, my little cousins are going around selling hand sanitizer to the guests, right? And I was like, let me guess, that's the Cuban side, isn't it? She goes, it is absolutely the Cuban side of the family.
I love that. I should have been a picture of that.
Listen, we had Cuban restaurants in Miami that were selling like COVID supplies on the menu. I mean, we're hustlers.
You got to make it happen. It's like, you know,
make it happen.
Get you your coffee con leche with some mask. That is so cool. So it's like, yeah, but you've been selling your whole life and nobody told you. Like, how was that revelation? Like really, she mentioned this to you or your coach mentioned this. Like, how did that happen? Like, what were you thinking? Walk me through that process.
I think it finally clicked and I was like, oh snap, you're right. I have been doing this the whole time. Now, she wasn't a sales coach, right?
Yeah.
She was more like a life coach type of situation. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get like sales training from her, but she at least connected that dot that at least gave me a little bit of confidence in terms of like, okay, girl, you got 9 months to figure out how to pay for your own health insurance. Let's go. And also she helped me have that revelation of like, there's no such thing as certainty, right? The most certain thing I can do is learn how to, you know, eat what I kill.
Yeah. Yes.
No one had connected that dot, you know? And I think it was also just things going on at that job where I was realizing like the economy's not, it was a combination of things, to be honest. It was like seeing all my internet friends quitting their jobs, right? And realizing, oh, there's something here. There's stuff moving online. That's why in 2020, I'm like, how did y'all not get this memo already? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I got this memo during the last recession, but I digress. No. I noticed a while ago. Right. But so it was that, life coach helping me connect the dots in terms of like, you already do sales. Now it's just doing it for yourself, which is like a whole other thing, right? Doing sales for yourself. And it was just having certain revelations at my job. Like, there is no such thing as certainty. Like, look at all these people that you interview who lost their jobs just last week. Like, what's the point? Right. Yeah. So I just went in. I mean, my expenses were really low. I will say that, right? Like, I purposely had extremely low expenses and made those choices because I knew eventually I was going to be like stepping out and doing my own thing.
We fall in that same category. My wife and I, we were in, I had a plan that I was going to create, you know, a startup or go back to grad school. And TSC became the eventual startup. And in that vein, like working in the corporate setting, I felt like I realized the house always wins. The house just always wins, meaning the company always is going to win at the end. And I understood that. And I was perfectly fine with that. But when the house won and it wasn't quite fair to everybody else, that's when I kind of like was like, okay, something, you know, we can't play this game and last forever. And I needed to, and I was on a sales team and my CEO did some interesting changes with our compensation process. And it just made me realize like I was bringing money in for this individual and this company. I should be able to, I can do this for myself. And I, it was like that click that you had, like, holy crap, if I did it for them, why can't I do it for my own self as well? And then the other part was like, we didn't have a kid yet. And we, like you said, expenses were really low. We paid off cars and was grateful for the opportunity to live in a sales, to have sales as a career because we just paid down debt, paid off cars. And it was in a great environment. And I think that's what made it possible for us to jump ship, so to speak, and leave that path.
Yeah. I mean, it was similar. I think for me, it was like, first of all, I don't have the personality to work for somebody else. I have, like at this point, I am utterly unemployable. I mean, let's just be honest. Some of us have that type of personality. I was talking to a friend. He's actually editing my videos because he's trying to get his business off the ground.
Yeah.
And he was complaining about his job. And I was like, dude, when are you going to realize that you are just not born for a regular job?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have that kind of personality. And it's okay. Also, immigrant background, the whole thing.
Same thing. Similar thing there. So it's like, it's amazing how that happens. And like, just you make that switch. And yeah, to whoever he is, if you're listening to this episode, just start making that plan, bro. Amanda, so how did you get involved in sales? Like, how did you lead down to this path? Because you right now, you're working with a lot of women leaders and individuals and helping them with their sales. How did that part transition?
So, interestingly enough, right, it would be a while before I really doubled down on that as a career. I think I had to take a bit of a detour in the finance stuff first.
Yeah.
I believe in divine timing and all that kind of stuff. And
amen.
I was actually really struggling to sell my coaching. Now I realize it's because it was all janky with the way that it was structured, which is a part of what I help my clients with. But I didn't know that back then. So it wasn't selling, but what I was selling really easily was I was sending pitches and booking writing clients like it was no big deal. I mean, they were coming to me at one point. So I was like, all right, there's something here. So I'm just going to ride the wheels of this train until it falls off, right? Because eventually it will fall off.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I did coaching on the side of that when people would ask, but when I would try and sell it, it wouldn't work. I actually got rejected 60 times in 1 month.
Once, interesting.
Right. Well, I was still doing both. Right. So like I still had a foot in each and I hadn't quite figured out, okay, well, what is the thing that I teach people? I hadn't quite figured that out yet. Right. Which is one of the reasons it was difficult to sell in retrospect. But anyway, really took a hit to my confidence. And then I was like, maybe I'm just not supposed to do this. And then I just doubled and tripled down on the writing. Because that's what was bringing in the money. And again, I was like, I got to do a detour over here for some reason. I'm not sure what that's about. And then I think that was 20, I want to say 15 or 16. I can't really remember right now, to be honest. And then around end of 2016, no, it must have been 2015, because then by the end of 2016, I started realizing an issue. And that issue was, I can't scale freelance writing.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of a little bit challenging to scale that kind of a business. Yeah,
it was challenging, right? So I was starting to make good money, but I was also really starting to work a lot. And then a few of my clients and editors decided to start acting like my bosses. And we already established I don't have that kind of a personality that can deal with that.
No.
So I was like, got to figure something else out. And I knew it had to do with like systems and structures and I looked for help. Like I hired people. I think that's one of the key things people can take away from this podcast is just hire help, right? Like hire people who've already been there and then they can help you get you there faster. So within the next, I don't know, I want to say 7 or 8 months, I ended up creating something called Persuade to Profit, which is now my signature sales training program. At the time, I didn't have as much sales content in it as I do now because remember, I wasn't feeling that confident with sales, right? Because I'd been rejected 60 times in 1 month. But I was working with a mentor who helped me kind of put it together. And we've since expanded. But in the beginning, it was a lot more marketing. It was a lot more geared toward influencers. It wasn't really a marketing and sales training. And then she put me in a hot seat for role playing. And she's like, you're really good. And I was like, huh? What? What are you talking about? I don't understand. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm really good. Did you not hear the story about me getting rejected 60 times in 1 month? She goes, no, you're really good. Just do this one little tweak. I can't even remember like what the tweak was, right? So then I moved out of my house and I was living on a condo in Brickell and I had rent to pay. And I was like, I better sell the ish out of this thing. And I ended up closing $10,000 in cash in 2 weeks.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
How are you getting these people?
Well, remember, I'd built a whole brand as a financial writer already. True. So like I had a list, I had stuff like that. People had been asking me. It's just, I feel like the reason I couldn't sell it before, which is a huge thing I have to go through with my clients, is like the structure of the product was not it.
Yeah.
The product was not it.
Yeah.
Right. Once I really got clear on a product, right, that actually solved the need, then it was actually pretty easy to sell. Right. Now, since then, you know, obviously I've done a lot of training. Like I'm going to be in Grant Cardone's offices this weekend. Right. Yeah. For like a sales boot camp. I've worked with Michael Burt. I've worked with David Nagel. Like I've really like dove in and gotten some training because when I saw that, I was like, wow, this is a skill set you have to master.
Yeah.
Like this, you have to master this thing. You will never worry about money again if you know how to sell.
Ugh.
So I've just like devoured every damn thing I could get my hands on. Right. Ever since. And I was getting better and better and better at sales. I think so that was 2017. By the end of 2018, I had to hire my first employee because we'd made so much money and profit that my accountant was like, A, you're starting to get screwed in taxes. B, we have to change the incorporation of the business. And C, you probably need to make a full-time hire because look at all this money you're spending on VAs.
Yeah.
Right? So there was just a lot going on at the same time. And I basically doubled the amount of money I was making and doubled the profit.
That's amazing.
That time period. Then I started the scaling process for myself. Right. And that is a whole other thing. And I tell people like, y'all better know how to sell because scaling is expensive. Let me just tell you.
Yes.
Right. But what happened, right, was I kept getting better and better and better at sales. And I kept training and training and training and training. And I kept putting myself in uncomfortable situations to practice. I learned how to prospect. I learned how to do all the things. Because I think part of what's going on online right now is like, you tell me if you've seen this. Where it's like they teach you launch strategies or they teach you how to warm up leads. But people have become way more savvy to that. Plus, they're completely deprived of human contact after what we've been through in the last year. And most business owners do not know how to sell.
Yeah.
They want the sales pages and the launches and the emails to do all the work for them, but they don't know how to have that human interaction that would lead to money in the bank. And that's what the audience is craving right now.
Yeah. And I think you're right. It's been something we've seen for a minute, and I think the pandemic just amplified it even more so. But yeah, you need to make sure you're having those conversations, and you can only hide behind your sales page for so long.
Right. And what if your Facebook ads account gets shut down? There's also that. Do you know what to do? Like we weren't running Facebook ads in December, and I got locked out of my Instagram. I still made 50 grand in sales because I know how to sell. I don't need those things anyway. So in 2020. We noticed a couple things, right? So we'd been running the program for a while and people kept begging us for more sales stuff because our clients were getting great results just with a little bit of sales stuff I had in there. At this point, they were begging us because 2020. And the other thing I noticed is that there weren't a lot of places for women in particular to go to learn sales.
Mm.
Because the women business coaches, all due respect, are not teaching sales. They're teaching manifesting and marketing, but they're not teaching sales.
And yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
And sales is the only thing that makes money move. So there's that. So you have a lot of women ending up in debt up to their eyeballs because no one taught them how to sell.
Yeah. They paid for a lot of programs, but they didn't have anything that's making them money.
Exactly. Right.
They're not going to make that great brand, but create a good marketing plan.
They have all this visibility and they're still broke. Right. Yeah. So there was that, right? There was that thing that I noticed. Then, of course, you know, and I said it for a while. I was like, listen, one good market correction and you're going to see the difference between marketers and salespeople.
Yeah.
Because salespeople are still going to know how to make money.
No matter what.
No matter what
climate you're in.
No matter what climate, they know how to deal with people. They know how to handle the objections. The biggest objection of Q2 of last year was uncertainty, right? Marketers don't know how to deal with that. Salespeople do.
Yeah.
Because of that human element. So we noted that was going on as well. And then also people just begging us for it. And I was like, I have to go to guys to learn how to sell. What if I could be like the translator, right? Because let's be real, not everything applies, right? And there are certain things that if a woman tried to pull it off, it would not be cute. Like it would not work. It would not land the same way for whatever reason. Plus, you know, mindset wise, we're dealing with certain things as well. Like we have a weird relationship to money because we have a weird relationship to power. And that's a lot of social conditioning and history and just a whole lot of stuff going on there. So I was like, what if I could be the translator? Because Grant Cardone, hey, Grant, can't wait to meet you. You know, he's been great for me. Or Michael Burt was really great for me. Mm-hmm. But I also understand why women are uncomfortable as hell in those environments. I'm just not offended easily, number one. And number two, like, I don't know, I could be in it and I could take what works for me and leave what doesn't. But I understand why women do not feel comfortable in that particular environment. I get it. So I was like, what if I could be the translator, where I could be like, here's the mindset of sales. Here's like the sales skill set without the brashness, because a lot of times the male sales trainers are coming from industries or backgrounds that are pretty rough,
yep.
Right? And you have to be kind of a hard A. You have to be a hard A in some of those situations. If you're a woman coach or course creator, you don't have to be a hard A.
Yeah. You can be, just be natural, be yourself. And that makes the world a difference there.
Yeah. So that's kind of how we got to where we are now. And then by the end of 2020, we were doubling our monthly revenue. So we ended up adding like, I don't know, 6 more modules of sales content to persuade to profit. And then recently we had a client who went from making $7,000 a month in 30 days to having her first $17,000 week.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing.
And we have clients who are doing 5 figures on the side of their jobs, right? And I can tell you that the main thing, other than we always got to go back and work on this product, that's always a thing that we got to go back on. But once that's figured out, and then once your messaging is figured out, then it's just sales skills. And when I teach them sales skills, they are off to the races.
Yep. I love this. This is, it's so cool to see another seller, and especially female. I'm going to connect you with our friend, Cynthia Barnes. She has a National Association for Women in Sales. And I think you could take over the world together. Do some amazing stuff there.
Yeah. So we started a community around it. You know, we have a free Facebook group, High Ticket Sales for Women Coaches and Course Creators. I mean, it grew to 1,000 people pretty much almost completely organically within like 3 months. And we're like, oh, we hit something. Like we really hit something in the marketplace. And I was like, cool, time to triple down.
Oh, love it. I absolutely love this. Amanda, if you're somebody's out there, they're listening and they're thinking, you know, I want to get more involved in sales, or perhaps they are a student that's listening, or somebody that's been in a career for a while and they just haven't been finding the success that they want. And they're someone who's in an underrepresented community. What kind of advice you'd give them to help them to step out and to know that this is a place for them and sales? They're needed in sales and they can make really good success in sales.
Do you mean like a traditional sales job or just like stepping out on their own?
Say either or.
It's a little different.
Let's go stepping out since you have a lot of experience there.
Okay, with stepping out. So one of the things I've noticed, because here's the other thing that I do that it amazes me that more business owners don't do this. I will actually reach out to people who bought our stuff and ask them how their purchase was and how they're doing and all that kind of stuff. And they're always shocked that a real human actually reaches out to them.
Yeah.
That is like one of the feedback that we get, besides the fact that they love that I curse on my podcast. The other feedback that they get is like, wow, we're interacting with real humans. This speaks volumes about you and your business. I'm like, yeah, sales is a people game, right? Yeah. It's a people thing. But one of the things I've noticed, right, is that people have a lot of imposter syndrome. So, for example, I was emailing with a woman who purchased one of our smaller dollar items, and she responded to one of our emails, and I responded back. She was one of the ones who was shocked that it was an actual person and not an automation. And she's been in PR for like 25 years, and she was all like hung up in her head, like, you know, I want to go out on my own, but it's probably going to be another year, this, that, and the third. I'm like, why do you think that? right? I'm like, we could just package up what you've been doing for the last 25 years. I teach you how to sell it and we could get you making money in 90 days. Like, it doesn't take that long, right? Yeah. I think the issue people have is that level of imposter syndrome, number one. And then number two, everyone's had a really crappy sales experience. Like, everybody's had their high school friend in their DMs trying to get them to join an MLM. No shade to MLMs. There's lots of legit MLMs. I know people who've done very well in direct sales, but everybody's had that experience, right? Or everybody talks about the used car salesman. Or everybody's like, I don't want to manipulate anybody. I'm like, you're not manipulating anybody. Unless you take, if you're taking their choice to make a decision away, you have manipulated and coerced someone. If you want a lesson in manipulation, go watch all these documentaries about cults, right? Sales is not that.
Yeah.
So it's just misunderstandings and imposter syndrome, right? So what I would say is, like, it doesn't have to take that long if you have the proper training, and then how to find the proper training. It's a whole other conversation.
Oh, Amanda, I absolutely love this. If folks are listening and want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to go about doing so?
So if you are a woman, right, then you can come find us in our free Facebook group, which is High Ticket Sales for Women Coaches and Course Creators. We'll send you guys the link. You can also just search for it. It'll come right up. On Facebook, the more the merrier. We do complimentary trainings in there once a week. So for example, the one that we're doing today on the day that we're recording this is how to double your revenue in 60 days. And we're definitely going to be talking about sales.
I think that's a sales one.
There's sales involved in that one. Yeah. So we do, my team and I do complimentary trainings once a week. You can come join us in there. For everything else, so the podcast, the videos, the YouTube channel, it's AmandaAbeya.com, or you could just search Amanda Abeya on social media. I'm really active on Instagram, and we're actually going to be having some really cool sales trainings coming out on YouTube.
Love it. Amanda, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. Thank you so much for your insights today and helping us to elevate sales and get more people of color to take advantage of it. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Listen, that was the amazing Amanda, and I want you to go ahead and connect with her. You can find all of her information down below. I mean, I bring folks on like Amanda because I want you to thrive and succeed. Think about it. People of color, I am thoroughly convinced that we are some of the best sellers in the world. People who are marginalized, we have the opportunity. We've gone through the hardship. We've done the things necessary to make us great sellers. I want to give you the opportunity, and you can learn from people like Amanda who have done it and are succeeding. I don't want you to beg for a piece of the pie. I don't want us to just beg for opportunity to get to the table. I want us to get there. And I want us, if that's not possible, I want us to make our own way and make our own dang pie. I want you to create those opportunities. I want to give you the tools and the skills that you can do to make that happen. We're going to increase this. We're going to make it happen. I want you to check out groups like Sales for the Culture as well. It's an awesome community to help sellers of color to be able to learn from others who are in sales, people who are just getting into sales, and people who are sales leaders of color as well. I do this stuff because I want you to thrive and succeed. The most important part, though, is that I want you to raise your level of thinking each day, and I want you to go out and do big things. Hey, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the episode today. I appreciate you. You could be doing many other things, but you sacrificed the time to be able to improve yourself and to listen to our podcast, and that means a lot. If you haven't done so already, I ask that you leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. It goes a really long way when someone can come behind you and hear about the show from someone else and hit subscribe. Thank you if you can do that, and if you've done it already, it would mean a lot. I appreciate you. Also, if you haven't done so already, go ahead and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can get the same amazing content, but you get a chance to see us, as well as more tips, tricks, and strategies that can help you compete and to succeed as a sales rep. Our show today was produced by myself and the Sales Podcast Network. It was edited and mixed together by the one and only Mr. Jershon O'Bale. Our show notes today was created by the one and only Rayel Ramirez. Our podcast guest coordinator is Mrs. May Marr. Our episode artwork and social media posts were created by Destin Cunado. Our content editor is Michelle Rushman. Our podcast production coordinator is Mrs. Shannon Rasmussen. You can find audio credits to this episode and all of the episodes in each of our show notes. And as always, I am your host, your coach, your mentor, your guide down the sales journey, Mr. Donald C. Kelly, the sales evangelist.